In the Apostle's greeting from the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 18 through 25. It's our second lesson. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of the promised Messiah, Christ crucified and risen, dearly redeemed saints of God, sometimes it's hard to find your way into a church, especially when you first get there. People that visit during the week come to our sidewalk, they see both of these doors and they stand there and have to make a decision. Two doors. Sometimes one looks more inviting than the other, like the double doors that ought to be open, they think. But it's really the side door with the doorbell. But if you came during a Sunday and you came to the side door, that would be locked and the other one would be open. Things change and it's hard to figure out sometimes, how do we get into that church, even if we finally get to the parking lot? And just think if you were trying to teach one of your children that kept on going to the wrong door. Or maybe thought the other doors around the other side of the building were more exciting. You'd finally, after trying, if you figured it out yourself, maybe just have to let the little one find the other doors locked until finally we learn. Well, that's how we learn, usually. But it won't work. Finding our way into God's house in heaven. Because the Lord tells us, we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Blind by nature, deaf. We can't figure it out ourselves. So God in his great mercy gives us this book to show us the door, the way, the truth, the life into our Heavenly Father's house. It doesn't seem to make sense to the mind of man, but we preach Christ crucified. By God's command, we preach Christ crucified. Because first of all, he's the power of God. Coming up on that summer season again, you can watch the street lights if they're the right color. Or the lights around your house. What do you see? The bugs, the moths, trying to get into that light. They fly at that light with all their strength and they do it again and again, cracking that light with their heads, and they just can't get inside the light. And the next day, you find the bugs dead on the sidewalk. What a picture of human beings trying to get into God's house, to find the light on their own. We don't have the power. We can try and try and work at it and fly at that light again and again. We cannot get in unless the Lord shows us the way, unless the Lord lays it out for us and gives us that power that we can't come up with ourselves. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. How can you stand under a street light and call up to the moths and say, "Stop! You can't do that"? You could explain it in the most simple terms. You could use your best English or whatever language you wanted. It would not make sense to the moth bashing their heads against the light trying to get in. And it doesn't make sense to human beings either. The one way to the light of God. God has to help us. And if he didn't, we couldn't find our way in. This message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. As it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." That's what Jesus is doing in our gospel lesson today, when those who look down on other sinners criticize him for eating and drinking with sinners. What kind of rabbi is that? What kind of Jew is that? That he would go with these tax collectors that worked for the Romans, and that he would sit down with sinners and prostitutes and eat and party with them. What? Why would anybody follow that? So they criticize him again and again, and Jesus tells three parables in Luke chapter 15 all about the lost and found, especially that last one. Some of you may remember me telling you in the past, or maybe a couple were even there. The very first service we had, September 13th of 1987, in Snail Lake School, that gospel was the text. Because after talking to so many people in our community about coming back to God, what a way to welcome them, this father, with all that compassionate love, just welling up from inside for this son. Everybody knew what he did. They knew what he said to his father. They knew that he took that. Then they knew what the older brother knew. What a wicked life. And this father, in overwhelming compassion, welcomes him back. "My son that was dead is alive. The lost is found. Let's party." Doesn't make sense to human beings, because we're all wrapped up in that idea that if you do good, you should get good. If you do bad, you should get bad. And God's point is, you can never do good enough to be holy like God. God says, "Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And unless you're holy, you cannot see God. So God had to figure out a way to make the moths quit flying into the light, so that we could understand, so that we could come to him and find a father's heart filled with compassion, ready and eager to welcome us back. Just imagine trying to go out in the middle of the street with a ladder, or you see somebody doing this. Walk out in the middle of the street and stand this really tall ladder there in the middle of the street. And I don't know how good the balance would have to be, but just start climbing the ladder. And you look at the guy and say, "What are you doing?" "I'm climbing to heaven." And you think that might be strange. I had a man tell me that in the campus ministry in Milwaukee one time. He said he was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, and each day he was going up another rung of that ladder so that he could climb up to God. I told him, the problem is, he doesn't just say one verse at a time. He says all of it. You can't climb up to God. Your ladder won't reach that high. You could try to tell somebody that, but boy, if they're just set on climbing that ladder, what are you going to do? You're going to preach Christ crucified. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. My confirmation verse. I'm not ashamed of it because it changes hearts. And you, dear Christians, who are trying to reach your relatives and your loved ones that are so stubborn, they're standing the ladder in the middle of the street and trying to climb up to God on their own work righteousness and their own power. Or they're so intellectual, they're just the moths flying against the light. What should you do? Tell them about Christ. Everything that the cross of Christ crucified means. Those ancient prophecies of the Christ to come, like Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22. Words that we need to know. How God promised the Savior and sent the Savior, kept His promise, even at the cost of His own life. That blood was shed for all. The sins are washed away. Why not repent? Why not come home to a Father who's going to welcome you, knowing full well your sin, your wasted life, all the things that you've done wrong? And He's waiting, just waiting for you to come back and welcome you with open arms. Why not? When you hear that message of what God has done in Christ, that's the power, that good news, that gospel of sins forgiven. The words of our Lord Jesus when He said, "It is finished." Nothing more to be done. He did it all. Just believe it. Repent and be saved. The beautiful message, the invitation of Christ crucified that's meant to be proclaimed. That just means saying it over and over and over again. Because this cross of Christ and this message of the cross has a power all its own. It turns sinners to repentance. That boy with the pigs remembered the kindness of his Father, just as sinners over and over again have remembered something they heard about this God of the ancient Jews, who sent that Messiah, the Anointed One, the promised Christ, and kept His promise with the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The bug lovers aren't going to like this, but I remember very satisfying times in those years working for my grandfather watching bugs fry. I'd been working out in the pastures with the irrigation and all the water out there, and just mosquitoes swarming. Couldn't do anything about them. You had to go for a couple weeks until you just learned to ignore them, and you could cut the pipe and glue it together, dig the holes out, just get the job done and kind of get immune to all those bug bites. And then somebody invented the bug light. A black light hung in a tree with a wire mesh down below, so that as they swarmed around that black light at night, you could just stand there and watch them fry. And the ones that were really interesting were the moths, because they made quite a fire when they immolated themselves on the bug light. Do you realize that God could have just let us do that? Why care? These stubborn human beings with all their great ideas, their wonderful philosophies, all these authorities over all these years that were going to point their way into God's house. No, we don't like that door that God points out, so let's just make a hole in the wall. Or find some other door, or say, there's many ways to get to God. Any way is fine. Where are they? Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Those authorities who had their own wisdom. Scholars even to this day, with many people who admire their intellect and are just absolutely certain. These people really are open-minded. They know what they're talking about. And then there are those who just like to argue. Christianity, just another philosophy. It's just meant to be debated and argued about. You know, they're the ones that will ask question after question after question. You tell them what the Bible says, that will never satisfy them. They just don't care. They really just only want to argue. Where are they? Sigmund Freud, Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, all those who in their day had so much respect respect and admiration from academia? Where are they? They're dead. They're gone. And there have been so many that have followed them with their own philosophies that have set the others aside. They finally met their maker. But there's always someone to step up in their place and present something else, some other way, some other idea. And so the Lord, through his apostle, makes fun of them. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God chosen the foolish, made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, you know, we're all living in the wisdom of God. He created this world. He shed the blood of his own son to redeem it. All around us is the word of God. It's here. We're surrounded like a bubble in this grace of God day after day. But here in the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. Maybe intellectually they've heard the name. They might even know the Bible pretty well. But they don't know it by the experience of faith. A God who's loving, kind, and welcoming of sinners. They don't know him. Through the wisdom of this world, the world cannot know him. So God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Reminds me of that rabbi on the radio who said, "We do not want a Messiah who dies on a cross." Knows what he's saying. But that shame, that defeat, that proves to that mind at least, that can't be the one. We don't want him. Peter did not want him. He rebuked his Lord when Jesus said he would die on the cross. Nobody wanted that. No way. It's not man's way, but it's God's way. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, non-Jews, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because man's wisdom cannot grasp this, God, in his ultimate wisdom, uses exactly what man doesn't want. God did this on purpose. He knows very well that Jews will trip over Christ crucified. And Greeks, the non-Jews, everybody else, that just doesn't make sense. So the Jews trip and the Greeks laugh. Just foolishness. But do you realize how many signs God gave the Jewish people? We actually don't have all of them on record because in John's gospel, it says Jesus did many other signs and wonders. And as we sang in our verse for today, these things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. So there are signs written. You're out in the fields. It's dark. You're taking care of your sheep. The heavens open. There is the angel. What does he say? This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger. What was the sign for those magi, the wisdom men from so far away? The star in the east. And why was it that none of the Jewish religious leaders followed them to Bethlehem? They found it in their own scriptures. In Micah 5, but they didn't trust the sign. And in spite of all the miracles that our Lord worked again and again, his own Jewish people, especially the religious leaders, kept demanding, show us a sign, show us a sign. And Jesus finally said, you won't get a sign, except one, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Remember that one? As Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth, and he will rise again. Jewish time reckoning, any part of a day is all of the day. The sign was there. Did they believe? No, they tripped over that. And that's just foolishness to Greeks. Paul found that out in Athens, talking on the Areopagus, the think tank of the ancient world. They laughed at him when he talked about the resurrection. So what should we do? proclaim Christ crucified. Say it again and again. Tell it to our world. Tell it to everyone you know. Proclaim Christ crucified, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Which takes me back to our little street, dead end, dirt for 5 of the 7 years we lived there until it was paved, and those go-karts. My brother and I had to build go-karts, and we had a friend next door that helped us. We actually bought some 2x4s, and the cheapest ones were cedar. So we made the cedar 2x4s into the axle trees of our go-kart. You just cut your 2x4s to length and nail a nail in both ends with the wheels, put it all together, put the lightest guy in the go-kart, and the big brother and the big friend from next door, they'll push. I think I drove about 3 feet that day. And I found out why cedar doesn't make real good structural material, because those wheels just went. How is man's go-kart holding up against God's SUV? All of our intelligence and all of our wisdom and our push power, how does it hold up in the middle of the street with God coming with his cross of Christ crucified? What does our world need? What do the children need to find their way back home to God? Herman Gockel, that comfort preacher from the Missouri Synod who was on the radio for so many years and wrote those beautiful devotion books like My Hand in His, he found a story somewhere of a girl that got lost in London. A little girl lost about the time the sun was going down, and it's getting very dark, and a policeman found her just sobbing, crying her eyes out, "I can't find my way home." "Well, do you live near a police station?" "No." "Do you live near a store or a mall?" "No, I can't find my way home." Finally, he asked her, "Do you live near a church?" And her eyes got real bright. She said, "Yes, it's the church with the cross. Show me the church with the cross, and I'll be able to find my way home." All of our efforts as human beings have only made things worse. Did the war to end all wars end all war? No, because it came to be called the First World War. And there have been plenty since. Have we gotten rid of disease, as they thought in the early 1900s? And then that war to end all wars, and the soldiers that came back, especially that one to Minnesota, brought influenza. And in the months just before the war was over, 500,000 people died here in our country and millions around the world. They quit saying that. We haven't even figured out what's on the other side. What do we do with the afterlife? So all we can do as human beings is say there must be many ways to God, because look at all the world's religions. But there's only one cross. There's only one religion in the entire world that says God gave his Son in great compassion to wash away the sins of all people so that not a spot remains. Only one religion that says he's not dead anymore. He's risen from the grave. He's alive. And God has said with that that you're all justified. God has declared the whole world not guilty. There's no sin left. Nothing left for us to do. Where else do you find a God like that? Except the God of the Bible. Except the God with this power and this wisdom that he sends in human flesh and blood as God himself. What does our world need? What do you need? What do our friends need? Preach Christ crucified and say to one and all, welcome home. Amen.